Anquan Boldin, Super Bowl champion, and a great testimony. Hang on to his words this morning because I want to come back to them at the end of the sermon of the day. A few, back in 2014, I remember reading about the Panama Canal. It was the 100th birthday, her 100th anniversary of the building of the Panama Canal. And I remember reading up on it. It's kind of fascinating. For hundreds of years, Europeans had tried to find a way to get their goods more cheaply. You know, for what you had to do was, if you were going to be shipping anything or taking cargo, you would have to go around South America, and so they were trying to find a route to go through somehow through Central America. And so the United States was very interested in this. Ulysses S. Grant, he sent like 7 expeditions down to Central America to try to find a route. And finally, after building the Suez Canal, the French, they thought they kind of knew what they were doing. And so they sent a team over, sent the people that had built the Suez Canal over to build the Panama Canal. And they tried for many years and weren't succeeding at it. And finally, they sold their building project to the United States. And the United States put our effort and money behind it. One of the largest building projects of all time, up until that time, one of the most expensive. And finally, in 1914, the Panama Canal opened. And in reading about the canal, there's several things I learned. One is I was amazed at how much planning went into its construction. If you're going to build something like that, then it takes a lot of coordination, strategizing, of resources, and not just financial resources, but physical resources, human resources to get something built. They had thousands of people that were working on the site and coordinating all of them, plus providing housing and food and medicine and other supplies. I mean, planning was a huge part of this. Innovation was important as well. Not just simply, the terrain that they were in was very difficult, and they had to come up with new technologies. Unlike the Suez Canal, when it was built between waters that were the same level. Well, the Atlantic and Pacific Oceans are at different levels, and so they had to come up with a leveling system. So they have this lock system for 48 miles through the Panama Canal. It was quite the engineering feat in its day, but they had to be innovative. They had to be committed to overcoming obstacles because they had lots of barriers, lots of hurdles to overcome. It took a great deal of vision, not only to imagine it, but to execute that vision with people, to have the resolve and the commitment and the strength. Like I said, the French tried for many years and couldn't get it done. And so for the United States to come in, it took a lot of hard work. And when critics got noisy, they had to stay after it. And when things didn't go as planned and they had failures and setbacks, they had to overcome the obstacles. And the cost was great. The U.S. spent something like $375 million on the project. And did you know that in the building of the canal, over 5,600 people lost their lives in the building of that canal? That's just the U.S. phase. Many others in the French phase. Thousands died. It was expensive, and it took a lot of commitment. People have been talking about it for hundreds of years, but it was only after people who were willing to plan, to innovate, people who had the character and courage and commitment to overcome the obstacles, people who were willing to pay the price before it would get done. Now, in grade school, every kid learns the difference between a river and a canal. For instance, a river is a natural occurring phenomena. Very random and unpredictable. Nobody knows where a river's going to go. But a canal is something that's built, it's envisioned, it's planned for, and it's purposely constructed and laid out. A river's course is always determined by the path of least resistance, right? So when it comes to an obstacle, it tends to go around it rather than through it. Resistance determines its course more than anything else. But a canal is something that's very purposeful. Matter of fact, in a canal, the plan's laid out, and then you remove the obstacles. You stay the course. The plan determines the destination, not the situation that you're facing. Canals have a cost that must be paid. They demand commitment and resolve and involvement, whereas a river doesn't cost anything. You just let the water run wherever the water's going to run. That's how a river gets there. Here's the thing. I find there are two kinds of people in this life. There are river people and there are canal people. There are folks whose lives are random and unpredictable, and those who know where they're going. There are those of us who our life is determined by the path of least resistance. Whatever difficulties going on, that sort of determines where we go. We tend to go around the obstacles. But there are canal people who like go, you know what? No matter what the obstacle is, they're going to keep going in the direction and the path that they've chosen. There are those who just let life happen without laying anything on the line. And then there are those who give their lives in a commitment to something, to a destination, to a point. I believe followers of Jesus are canal people. Jesus told this story. He's really becoming very popular. And I know for us, many times we think the world would just be a better place if the churches were all full. But the reality is Jesus is not just after popularity. So he's got all these people following him. Well, look at what it says in Luke 14. A large crowd was following Jesus. And he turned around and said to them, if you want to be my disciple, you must hate everyone else by comparison. Your father and your mother, your wife and your children, your brothers and your sisters, yes, even your own life. Otherwise, you cannot be my disciple. And if you do not carry your own cross and follow me, you cannot be my disciple. You can't begin until you count the costs. For who would begin construction of a building without first calculating the cost to see if there was enough money to finish it? Otherwise, you might complete only the foundation before running out of money and then everyone would laugh at you. That would say, well, they'd say there's this person who started that building and couldn't afford to finish it. Or what if a king were to go to war against another king without first setting down with his counselors to discuss whether his army of 10,000 could defeat the 20,000 soldiers marching against him? And if he can't, he will send a delegation to discuss terms of peace while the enemy is still far away. So you cannot become my disciple without giving up everything you own. There are large crowds following Jesus, and he tells a story about commitment. He tells a story about being a canal person. Jesus wasn't interested in popularity, and he wasn't interested in how many people he could gather. And when he looked on the crowd, he knew a lot of them didn't get it. They didn't know what it meant to follow him. They didn't really get what it meant for them to come after him, to incorporate his teachings into their lives. They didn't understand what he was all about, what following him really meant. And so he knew resistance was coming. Jesus knew there would be obstacles. There would be people who would come against him. And so he just lays it out here. The abandonment of the cross is coming. You want to be my disciple? Then you got to get understand this. You're going to have to abandon everything and take up your cross to follow me. And he told two stories about being prepared and about paying a price. And he basically is asking this question. Do you know where you're headed? Do you know where you're going? Do you really know what lies up ahead? You really know how hard this is? Do you really know where you're going? Are you just following me because it's the popular thing to do? Are you just following me because you're a river person and like this is the path right now of least resistance? See, Jesus told this story of a builder and a soldier. And what he said was it's important to determine your destination, where you're going, because neither the builder nor the soldier begins something without knowing what the purpose is, where it's going, where it's headed, without a destination in mind. I don't know if you experience this as couples, or maybe you've got a friend like this, but one of the most stressful times in the Davis house is when we are going to go out to eat and we have to figure out where we're going. All right? Yeah. And I hate aimlessly driving around having this discussion because on top of the expense of eating out, I'm now wasting gasoline. And unfortunately, when you're driving, we won't get into this anyway. You know what I'm saying, right? Anybody here just aimlessly wandering through your life right now? Anybody here driving the car of life and you're like going, you really don't know where you're going? You don't know where you're headed? Did you know that God is not a, he's a God of not, he's not a God of aimlessly wandering. Because listen, he's very intentional about you. He made you with a plan in mind, right? Here's what it says in Jeremiah 29:11. I know the plans I have for you. God, you know, if you read that whole verse, you find out it was going to take 70 years or so for God's plans to come to pass. But God had a plan. He's got a plan for you. He didn't just randomly make you. The psalmist says in Psalm 139 that all of our days are ordained by him before we are even born. He's intentional about your life. He's intentional about our world. Because I guarantee you, you know, Jesus was God's plan. The cross was God's plan. Resurrection was God's plan. He's not improvising here. Nothing that's going on in the world today is catching him off guard. It's not all going according to his plan, but it's stuff that he's prepared for. He's got plans to deal with it. And so nothing about it all is random. All of history is moving toward this sure and certain time when every knee shall bow and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, it says in Philippians. God knows where it's all headed. Jesus knew where his life was headed. Do you know where you're headed? Do you know? Do you have the destination in mind? Or are you aimlessly wandering around? See, God wants you and I to move with intention in our lives. He wants us to move with confidence. That's what I love about that song we sung this morning, is that this is my confidence. Great is your faithfulness. I know you're there. I know you got me. I know you're in this. I know you got a plan for me. And so even though there may be an obstacle ahead of me, it may catch me off guard. It didn't catch you off guard. You got a plan. God's desire that we move with intention towards being like his son, Jesus. That's, you know what? God's will for all of us may be different in some respects, but here's one thing I know. God wants all of us to be like Jesus. Amen? God wants us all to be like Christ. And so are you moving towards that? See, you just don't accidentally follow Christ. You don't just accidentally become a Christian. You don't accidentally become holy and sanctified. You do none of this by accident. But you have to do it with intention. Do you know where you're headed? If you look out in 2019, when this year is done and when we're standing here next February, what area, what part of your life do you want to be more like Jesus than it is today? What place is God saying, I need to work on this? We need to work on this year. God has a plan. Where are you headed? Do you know where you're going? Do you have a plan in your life to be like Jesus? Jesus was also asking the crowd this. How will you handle the obstacles that are on the way? Because I guarantee you there will be obstacles. Amen? There are. I think sometimes we forget that when you start to follow Jesus, there are a lot of them, right? Because we have an enemy. The Bible says we have an enemy who wants to thwart us and defeat us. He doesn't want you to follow Christ. We're in a battle, right? The Bible talks about us being in a battle. We're in a culture that's hostile to following Christ and often hostile to the values that we have. And then there's our own sin to deal with, right? There's our own faultiness, our own selfishness, our own woundedness, our own carnal desires that we deal with at times. Our own self-preservation. How will you handle those obstacles as you give yourself to becoming like Jesus? If you live like a river, then you'll just go around the obstacles. You'll let the obstacles determine your direction and your path. But see, we're not river people. We're canal people, right? Jesus wants us to deal with the obstacles that get in the way, not just go around them, not just avoid them. You know, in his stories, the builder, what? Figures out a way to deal with the financial challenges, right? Sit down and figure out a way to, wouldn't you sit down and figure out a way to handle the financial challenges? The soldier figures out, how do I deal with this larger force? They got twice the number of soldiers that I do. What would be the appropriate course here? How do I overcome the obstacles? Have you figured out how to handle the obstacles that are going to come your way? Anybody here ever done a warrior dash? Anybody? You know what it is? It's a 5K obstacle course, right? And every third of a mile, you come up to an obstacle, like 50-foot walls to climb over. See that wall behind them? 50 feet high. You have to climb over that, or sometimes you have to jump over a fire pit, you know, and then there's also, like, they have, like, barbed wire you have to crawl under and mud you have to swim through, like that. I mean, it's just really gunky. I don't know if you know anybody who's done a warrior dash, but you do. That's my little warrior, Luann. That's her and her son. Her son. Oh, stop it. Her son bought that for her for Mother's Day or something. I don't know. It was a gift for him and her to do this together. And I said, son, why didn't you ask me to go? And he said, because I wanted someone who would be able to finish with me. Yeah. Yeah, he's out of the inheritance now. And so they did this. I gave him two instructions when he went with his mom. I said, so here's the deal. I said, first of all, I said, you need to help your mother along the way, because you, along the race, you can help each other. And I said, secondly, do not cross the finish line without her, or I will hurt you. And it'll be permanent. And so anyway, so they did all that. I think, do I have her hat? In the next, yeah, there she is in her warrior hat and her t-shirt. So here's the thing. In a warrior dash, did you know you don't have to go through all the obstacles? Here's what they say on their website. If participants are not comfortable attempting or able to complete any type of obstacle, they may go around it. Participants who skip an obstacle in the competitive wave will not be eligible for a top 10 spot. So if you're competing and you go around an obstacle, you disqualify yourself. And but here's the thing. You also, along the journey, can help one another. None of the obstacles are so hard that you can't get through them, because it's possible to get through them. And teammates can help you. Other people can help you. I think at one point when Lou was trying to cross through something, Michael had his shoulder up underneath her rumpus and was giving her a little push a time or two. But you can help each other. And, yeah, are the things hard and scary? Yeah. And sometimes you need other people to help, but you can get through them. So here's the thing. Life can be like a warrior dash. Some of the obstacles are scary, and they're big. And you can take the path of least resistance. You can go around it. But if you go around it, if you're letting that determine your course in life, you might disqualify yourself in the race. Because going through it, you become stronger. Because here's what I know, is that every obstacle that you come up against, God says he can get you through. Because the one thing, just like my son, God will never abandon you on the course. God will help you through whatever it is that you have to face, whatever it is you have to deal with, whatever difficulty that comes up, you come up against. And here's the thing, God also gives you teammates to help you, so that when you're trying to climb that 50-foot wall and you can't make it, there's somebody up underneath you pushing and saying, come on, we can do this together. That's why you need a community group. I should get at least one amen from a community group leader. It's why we need each other. We're in a race, and there are obstacles out there. How are you going to get past the obstacles? And see, here's what happens sometimes. We're out there, and we're trying to do all the stuff. We hit an obstacle, and then we try to find people. Then we try to build relationships, and it's really hard. What we ought to be doing is building relationships now, being a team together, knowing that we're going to face things together. And you know what? When we face them, we're going to get through them together. We're going to get through them because our God, there's not an obstacle that he's ever faced that he can't get us through. There's not an obstacle that we come up against that he doesn't know about, and he doesn't know how to get us through it. How are you going to handle the obstacles? Too many of us fold, and we say, I'm going to let this beat me. I'm going to go around. I'm going to let the obstacle determine my course and where I go. That's a river person, but we're canal people. Listen to this. This is one of my favorite scriptures. This is from Ephesians 6, and it's in the message. God is strong. If you don't hear anything else this morning, follow me with this and hear this. God is strong, and he wants you strong. So take everything the master has set out for you, well-made weapons of the best materials, and put them to use so you will be able to stand up to everything the devil throws your way. This is no afternoon athletic contest that we'll walk away from and forget about in a couple of hours, like a Super Bowl. This is for keeps. A life or death fight to the finish against the devil and his angels. Be prepared. You're up against far more than you can handle on your own. Take all the help you can get, every weapon God has issued, so that when it's all over but the shouting, you'll still be on your feet. Truth, righteousness, peace, faith, and salvation are more than words. Learn to apply them. You can know the words, but if you don't apply them, they're no good. You can have a weapon, but if you don't use it, it's no good. You'll need them throughout your life. God's word is an indispensable weapon. In the same way, prayer is essential in its ongoing warfare. Pray hard and long. Pray for your brothers and sisters. Keep your eyes open and keep each other's spirits up so that no one falls behind or drops out. Shame on us if we let somebody fall behind or drop out. Oh. Life's a warrior dash. I mean, you can win a prize. What obstacles are you facing in your life? Do you know how are you going to handle the obstacles? Because they're going to come. There's going to be that health issue. There's going to be that job issue. There's going to be that money crunch. You need to plan now. How am I going to handle the obstacles? Don't be a river follower. Be a canal person. Use the weapons, the tools that God's provided for you. Here's another thing Jesus was asking the crowd to do. He said, look, I need to ask you, are you willing to pay the price? You know, we love stories of total commitment. We love to hear stories of athletes. You know, somebody again asked me this week about me and a pommel horse. But anyway, I'll never be in the Olympics. But the commitment it takes, we admire that. We admire soldiers who go and serve. We admire them because it takes a commitment to go and serve your country in a foreign country and lay your life down on the line, right? We respect firemen and policemen. Firemen, he runs into a building and he doesn't ask who it is. He doesn't ask how much they make. He doesn't ask what the cost. He just goes to save. Policemen do the same. They lay their life. We admire people who lay their life down for us. We love to honor people who have such sacrifice, devotion, and commitment. Some things never get done without it. And that's what Jesus said. He said, being a disciple, being a follower of mine, it's not about popularity and what feels good. It really is about sacrifice and dedication and commitment. He says that in order to live as a disciple, you have to give up everything. You have to pick up your cross and follow him. And everybody knew when he said pick up your cross, they knew what that meant. You have to die. You have to be willing to put yourself Lay yourself down. Lay aside your possessions, your family even. He mentions the family. You have to give up your greed and your hatred and your jealousies and your prejudices. You have to be willing to give up your need for approval, your yearning for success. We have to give up our sin, our failures. The cross was that instrument of death to lay it all down. The cross was a symbol of sacrifice and dedication and commitment. And like a person building a canal, you got to be, are you willing to pay the price? Are you? Are you in this thing like, yeah, I'll come to church if it fits in my schedule. Or if it's a pretty day outside. No, I'd probably go to the lake on that one. Maybe if it's a rainy day, I'll come to church. It takes a little more commitment than that to let the weather determine. Or to even let your family determine. It takes more commitment to each other, right? Than to let, are we going to let things get in the way? Or would you have a commitment to follow no matter what? That when I come to that ethical choice at work, I'm going to ask Jesus what I should do. When I come to how I should respond to that person who hurts me or that person who defamed me, am I going to let Jesus tell me what to do, how to respond, how to love? See, river followers just kind of go wherever life pushes them. But we're canal people. We know where we want to go. And we have to say, I'm not going to let the obstacles hold me back. I'm committed. I'm going to follow. I'm going to let him, like we've talked about in the last few weeks, be the boss. See, God's one of those kind of canal people because of his commitment to us. Romans 5 says this. You see, at just the right time when we were all powerless, Christ died for the ungodly. And very rarely will anyone die for a righteous person, though for a good person someone might dare to die. But God demonstrates his love for us in this, while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. There's a Super Bowl today, and at the beginning of the year, every NFL player had his goal to play in this game today. Both teams that are playing had to overcome obstacles, injuries, and other teams, and both have paid a price to play in today's game. And whoever hosts that trophy tonight will tell you that it's all worth it, but here's the thing, that trophy tonight is only temporary. Anquan Boldin, he's won that championship, but he says, you know what, there's something bigger than that, something more lasting than that. I love how he talks in there and talks about building, you know, about building treasures in heaven, not here. And that the more that he fell in love with Jesus, the more he realized he needed to serve others. I love his testimony because he's playing for something bigger than a Super Bowl trophy. What about you? What are you playing for? What are you committed to? We're gonna take communion this morning, and I'm gonna ask the band to come back, and I've got some folks that are gonna help us, and I'd like for all of them to come get in place this morning. And I'm gonna invite you in a few minutes when we've got everybody in place and we pray to come down. If you'd like to take communion this morning, you can come down these inner aisles and go to the bread stations that you see here. Take a piece of bread, which represents the broken body of Jesus Christ. Go to the person standing in front of your seating section and dip it in the bowl that they have. And then partake in communion this morning. The juice representing the blood that Jesus shed for you and I. And then after you do, if you're sitting in the middle, go down the center aisle back to your seat. Or if you're on the outside, go around the outside to your seats there. We do have two gentlemen, two helpers, for those of you that can't make it down this morning, who'll be helping. And all the bread this morning is gluten and allergy free, and so that we all can partake of the same loaf today, representing the body of Christ. Table's open for anyone. You don't have to be a Nazarene. We believe that this is a means of grace in our lives, that when we share together, we're reminded the price that he paid for us, the sacrifice that he made, so I could be forgiven. But more importantly, and maybe why it's important this morning, is to know I'm not by myself this morning. That whatever obstacle I'm facing, he is there with me. To know that he has a plan for my life, I'm not just aimlessly wondering, but he has a plan for me. That he's beside me, that he's for me. When everything else may be against me this morning, he's on my side. Boy, we've sung about that this morning. I am not by myself. He has a plan, and he can get me through. He can get me through whatever it is that I face and whatever it is I go through this morning. So I want us to pray this morning, and before we do, I want us for just a moment. Let me ask you a couple of questions. Do you know where you're headed today? It's so easy to get off track, isn't it? It's so easily to just let the obstacles in life cause us to aimlessly wonder. Do you know where you're going? God's got a plan for you. He created you for something more. Are you willing to embrace that plan today? Are there obstacles that you're dealing with that are keeping you from moving ahead? I want you to know whatever it is in your life this morning did not catch God by surprise. He's got you. He has a plan to get you out. He will see you through. He has the courage and the strength and the power and the wisdom that you need to overcome this morning. Will you just release it? Say, God, I give you my obstacles. I'm not going around this. You and me, we're going to go through this together. Help me. I want to have access to all the weapons you've given me today. Show me how to use them. Have you surrendered everything to Jesus? Maybe this morning you're not a follower of Christ. All the day, wouldn't it be a great day to just say, I surrender, I give myself to you. I don't want to be a river person anymore. I want to be a canal person. I give you my life. Forgive me, lead me, guide me. Maybe this morning for you, though, You've forgotten that he laid down his life for you, and maybe your commitment's kind of waffling today. Maybe today, on a day when we take communion, is a good day to say, I know what you did. That bread was, your broken body was for me. That blood was shed for me. You made such a tremendous commitment to me. Now I make one to you. All of my life you have it. We sing an old song, said, no turning back, no turning back. I'm not turning back, God. I'm going with you through this. Are you a river person or a canal person? Father, this morning we still our hearts before you. Grateful and thankful for all that you have done for us and in us and through us. I'm so glad in my life, Lord, there's not anything that happens, nothing going on, that it caught you off guard. I'm so glad you made me with a purpose in mind. So, Lord, today I pray for that one who says, God, I want your plans for my life. Whatever it is you have for me, I embrace it. Lord, I know you got me, Lord. I know you died for me, and I know you're going to get me through this morning. I pray for that one who's facing that big obstacle today. Well, we sung about that this morning, about those mountains, Lord. God, today I believe in what you did for me, and I know there's nothing in my life that catches you off guard. And if I'm going to follow your plans, I am willing to go through whatever I need to go through. I will not let this mountain defeat me. I'm not going around it, but God, together we're going through it. Give me the courage and the strength and the wisdom, because I can't do it by myself. But I'm committed today, committed to following you. Oh God, for that one who today surrenders himself for the first time today and says, Lord, I want you to be king of my life. I want you to call the shots. I can't do it by myself. I need you. Oh, Lord, today I pray, forgive, move in, and do incredible things. Lord, this morning we offer ourselves today in worship of you. Thank you for the body that was broken for us. Thank you this morning for the blood of Jesus Christ that saves us. We eat this today in remembrance of you. I want to ask you to stand with me this morning. While the band sings today, I want to invite you to come to the table and share communion this morning.